Oh, Heavenly Father, we just come before you this night. It's just been so great, so wonderful, Lord. I just have been seeing your hand just touch each of these women. And I just pray, Lord God, that you would use me tonight, Lord. Empty me of myself and fill me with your Holy Spirit. I pray that just a fresh wind would just come across this place, Lord, and that these women, Lord God, would just sense your touching, sense your the conviction and the pulling and just feel the encouragement, Lord God. I pray that you would give them a word personally to each woman tonight. And we ask these things in Jesus' precious name.
Amen.
Okay, well, my study is faith during trying times. And I was excited when I got this because I've been through a lot of trying times, and something that I know that each and every one of you also have been through trying times, hard times, times where you didn't know if you would even get through that time, and storms that have just come into your life. But I wanted you guys to ask yourselves tonight and examine your hearts and ask yourselves, how many times have you put faith in the backseat? I can't tell you how many times I have heard women say, I trust God, but I believe God can get me through it, but I'm not worried. But see, trusting God and believing God is having peace through the storm. And as soon as I hear the word but, I know they're not fully trusting in God. And I myself have been through this. I've tried to handle problems on my own and struggle and worry and just, you know, toil through this problem until I finally just give up. And I call out to him and he fills me with that peace. And I think, why, oh why, didn't I do this to begin with? The storms that come in our life come in different shapes and sizes. Some big, some small. Some last hours, some last years. They can come and settle over your marriage. They could come and your finances. Maybe something from your past comes back and you need to deal with that. A difficult person comes into your life. Health, loneliness, depression. But through all this, we need to be able to have that kind of faith that said, Lord, you've given and you've taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And why do we need this kind of faith during these times? Well, because it changes things. We won't be able to get to change the storm, to control the storm, but we will be able to get through the storm. Faith is to believe and to trust, to believe that God is in control. He knows your circumstances. Believe that he cares and he wants to help. And believe that with all things are possible through him. I know that it's confirmation already. Pastor Brian has talked about the storm that I'm about to talk about and Antoinette and the Holy Spirit. It's Peter again. So we're going to go and take a look at Peter in Matthew 14:22. I just want to set this up really quick. Before this happened, well, the first word in 14:22 says immediately. Right before this, all the disciples were with Jesus. Jesus was healing. Jesus was ministering. Jesus was had this crowd, and they were all with him. And the disciples said, let them go. Let them go eat. And he said, no. Feed them what you have. And they had the bread and the fish, and he broke it, and he was able to feed 5,000. And they witnessed this. And right after that, it says, immediately, Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and go before him on the other side while he sent the multitude away. For we know that they were going to enter a storm. Jesus put them there. He put them in the boat, and he had a plan. And when he had sent the multitude away, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. Now when evening came, he was alone there. But the boat was now in the middle of the sea, tossed by the waves, for the wind was contrary. Now, I don't know about you, but sometimes when I'm in the storm, I feel so alone. I just feel like, what is going on? I don't understand this. Lord, you put me here. Why? Why is this happening? But we'll see in verse 25, it says, now in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went to them, walking in the sea. See, he's close. He's near, even when you don't feel him. It's by faith. We know that he is in us. He resides in us. And verse 26, it says, and when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, it's a ghost. And they cried out for fear. And here, they were afraid of the unknown. And so many times we could be afraid, I don't know about you, but of things that haven't even happened yet. We're afraid of circumstances, things that probably won't even happen. But we're worried. We're stressed, and I have a couple quotes here that I really liked. I want to share with you. It says, worry is faith in the negative, trust in the unpleasant, and assurance of disaster and belief in defeat. Worry is wasting today's time to clutter up tomorrow's opportunities with yesterday's troubles. And all your worry does is just zap your strength. It says, what does anxiety do? It does not empty tomorrow of its sorrow, but it empties today of its strength. It does not make you escape evil. It makes you unfit to cope with it when it comes. It just, worry does nothing. And so many times we spent hours and hours in worry. It can't add an inch to your height, it says, and yet we still just worry and God wants us to have that faith. He wants us to trust him like a childlike faith. It would hurt me so bad if I told my son something and he didn't believe me. I'm going to do it for you. And for him not to trust me, oh, that would hurt me so bad. And our Heavenly Father says, don't you know? I'm right here beside you. I'm taking your hand, walking you through this. Trust in me and don't doubt. Go to the next verse. It says, and when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, okay, sorry, that's 26, 27. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, be of good cheer, it is I, do not be afraid. We know we do not need to be afraid because God is with us. In Psalm 56, David said, God is with me, I will not be afraid. Verse 28, and Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water. See, I think this was a definite message from the Lord to step out. See, he was willing. God will use you as long as you're willing. And I'm telling you the truth, I really, so many times, I have nothing to offer. And I come to God and I just say, you know, why are you using me? And he always tells me, because you're willing. That's the only reason, is because I'm willing. I really am, ask my friends, I'm foolish. and you know, but he does great and mighty things. And if you do take that step of faith, you'll see him work. And I don't want you guys to miss out on that, because we are so weak in ourselves, but God is so strong. And he just, when you take that step, you will see just, oh, great and mighty things. And your faith will be so strengthened. And see, here Peter did have faith. I like this quote too. It says, faith sees the invisible, believes the incredible, receives the impossible. He believed God can do it. He trusted he would take care of him. He asked permission, and then he waited for a response. He waited on the Lord. And waiting takes patience. Sometimes during storms, you have to wait. You have to wait them out. It's hard. Waiting is hard. G. Campbell Morgan says, waiting for God is not laziness. Waiting for God is not going to sleep. Waiting for God is not abandonment of effort. Waiting for God means first, activity under command. Second, readiness for any new command that may come. And third, the ability to do nothing until that command is given. And what does he say? Be still and know that I am God. Sometimes we're waiting, but we're like, you know, that's not what he means. Be still and know that I am God. When you're still, I mean, there's just this peace that just really just fills you up, and that trusting him, just knowing that he will take care of it. He knows. And then it's like, oh, I don't have to carry it. This is great. And an example is Sarah and Abraham. He gave them that promise. They believed him. It was accounted to them as righteousness. And he said, okay, wait, and I will give you a son. And they kind of got this, and we know what happened from there. They had Ishmael, right? No.
Ishmael.
Okay, Ishmael, is it right? Okay.
Yes.
Hello. Okay. So let's go on in verse 29. He said, come. And when Peter and had come down out of the boat, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. And that word come, it spoke so loud to me. Let's turn to Matthew 11:28. Again, he has that same commandment for us. It says, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. We need to come. We need to make that effort to go to him. You will not have rest if you don't take it to God. Let's go back to our text in verse 30. It says, but when he saw the wind was boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried out, Lord, save me. And we know here, he took his eyes off the Lord and put them on his circumstances. And I know how easy it is to do. It can be so distracting when you're living it, when you are in the storm. And because, I mean, we read this and we just see, you know, Peter, and we see Jesus, but imagine the storm going on around him. It would be so hard not to turn. But the thing is that's when he, you know, started sinking down. And our problems just look so enormous. But the thing is God is so much bigger than our problems. And I want to ask you, are you focusing on your problem tonight? Let your focus be on God. Take your eyes off your problem. I don't know if you guys have seen the How Great Is Our God video. Mm-hmm. It is so great because you watch it. You already feel like this, you know. But you watch it and you just feel yourself just shrinking because it talks about the world and then it like scans back and it like shows a star and then it scans back and it shows this bigger star and just how huge this universe is. And we have to remember how great is our God, how big he is. He created the heavens and the earth. He can't fix your problem. He can't take care of that. And the thing back in here, verse 30, it says, he cried out to the Lord, save me. And I love that because it's like no matter where you're at, no matter where you've been, you just cry out to God. And that's what God wants from us, is us to cry out to him. I wanted to look at Psalm 107. Psalm going to look at Psalm 107, verse 6. This is all the times God works his great deliverance. It says, "Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them of their distresses." Now please go down and read verse 13. "Then they cried out to the Lord, and in their trouble, he saved them out of their distresses." And now verse 19. "And then they cried out to the Lord, and in their trouble, he saved them out of their distresses." And now verse 28. "Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he brings them out of their distresses." And 29, "He calms the storms so that the waves are still." Cry out to him. Cry out to him with a sincere calling. Sincere, just help me, Lord. Save me, Lord, and get me through this time. And he is right there to get you out of your distresses. So many times when we come to him in prayer, that's when our problems shrink. When we see how big God is, then we see our problems go down and we say, you know what, he has this. He can do it. And you know what? If he sent his only son to die for you, what wouldn't he do for you? What wouldn't he do for you? That is the ultimate. If he did that, don't you trust him to get you through that time? Whatever you're going through, whatever it is in your life. Let's go back to verse 31. It says, "And immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and caught him and said to him, O you of little faith, why do you doubt?" And when they got into the boat, the wind ceased. Well, again, we see the word immediately. As soon as he cried out, boom, it was just instantaneous. He was there. And it gives me such encouragement because, you know, even though you can't see, he is there. There's a spiritual work going on. He's lifting you up. He's just right there, and you need to believe it. And just how Pastor Brian said, our faith is like a muscle. And the more we use it, the stronger it will get. And God's going to put us in the gym. He's going to put us in opportunities so that we can use our faith and work those faith muscles. And God also lets us experience these things so that we do not rely on ourselves. And David knew this. He said, "Let me know how frail I am." We need to know just how weak and frail we are because we need God. We cannot do it alone. When we know our need for him, we draw close to him. James 4:8 says, "Draw near to God and he will draw near to you." Psalm 145:18 says, "Jehovah is near to all those who call on him, to all those who call on him in truth." He wants sincerity. So don't face your trials on your own. You can't. You will be weary. You will be defeated. He wants us to call on him, to wait on him, to trust in him. And he says, "Why did you doubt?" And the word doubt in the Greek is dispazo, which means to mentally waver. We need to see the waves in our minds when we doubt. They're just working. And we're sinking. Lord, help. Okay, he'll grab you, lift you back up. We need to pray. God, increase my faith. Increase my faith. And he will. But trusting in the Lord is the best way to have that firm footing. To be that stable in the faith. I love it. We live in Valle de las Palmas, Mexico. Which is translated Palm Valley or Valley of the Palms. And Hassan always is telling our church, we need to be like those palm trees. Just deep roots. Deep, deep roots. When a storm hits or hurricanes hit and there's palm trees there, usually everything is destroyed, but the palm trees are still standing. And the reason why the tree experts say is that the roots don't go out. They go straight down. And they will bend. We'll bend. But we will not be broken. That reminds me of the 2 Corinthians scripture. Being persecuted but not forsaken, being thrown down but not having been destroyed. God is so good. He will put us through it. But we'll get through the storm. We need to have those deep roots and submerge ourselves in Him. And verse 32. It says, when they got into the boat, the wind ceased. And here it just also again shows of Him being in control. But Jesus is called the Prince of Peace. Wherever He's at, that's where peace is. And there's another saying that says He takes the broken pieces of our lives and gives us unbroken peace. It's so true. In John 16:33, it says, these things I have spoken to you, that you might have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. And I want to read a little story to you that I have in this devotion. It says, on December 26, 2004, an earthquake in the Indian Ocean triggered a series of tsunamis that devastated the coastland across Southeast Asia. Almost 230 people were lost in this natural disaster. Amazingly, an American woman survived the powerful tsunami. And here's what was reported. Faye Watts, 34, was diving with her husband, Eugene Kim, Sunday morning off the Koh Phi Phi Islands in Thailand when they noticed the water visibility worsened. They were being sucked downward. So the dive master signaled for them to surface, and they didn't even know what happened. They got up and they saw trash and debris floating in the water. And then finally they got a text message telling them about the catastrophe. The tsunami wave released more than twice the total explosion energy used during all of World War II, including the 2 atomic bombs. Yet Faye Watts was completely unaware of the destructive power unleashed above her. She was kept safe from the storm. In a figurative sense, Jesus prayed that the believers would be like Faye Watts. Wouldn't it be lovely to submerge ourselves so deep in Christ that when the tsunami of life hits hard, we are not swayed? That's what it would mean to be in the world and not of the world. It's so awesome. And if we could just saturate ourselves and seek and grow, our roots will grow deep. Because there's the mighty oak grows its roots out, and it's just out on the surface. And on the outside, it looks like it's got it all together. But under deep down, and I don't know if that's you tonight, but I just ask you that you would just search yourself and seek after God. Verse 33. It says, then those who were in the boat came and worshipped Him, saying, truly, you are the Son of God. And here we see the purposes of our storm. I have 3 purposes here. The first one is to bring glory to God. The second one is to share our faith with others. And the third one is to strengthen our faith. See, not everyone in the boat was a disciple. As we studied, they had people that took the boat to and from the places where they were at, but it says that everyone that was in the boat was praising God. And so through our storms, we have victory. And we would never experience victory without the storm. I wanted to look at 1 Peter 1:6. 1 Peter 1:6, it says, "In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have grieved by various trials, that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, through it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen you, love. Though now you do not see him, yet believing, you rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your souls." And I also wanted to share Psalm 34. This is a psalm that David wrote after he went through a storm of his own. Saul was after his life to kill him, and he was on the run. And there was a time when he felt that he was almost caught, but the Lord let him escape that trouble. And he said, verse 1, "I will bless the Lord at all times. His name shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make it boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear of it and be glad." And it's so awesome because later he goes on to tell people, "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good." He's telling people, and "Come, you children, listen to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord." And he's experienced this joy and this victory of God. And he is just going out and sharing his faith because he has overcome. And that's something that we need to do all as well. Every victory of the Lord, share it. And you know what? The Lord will use your trials to minister to somebody else. It has happened to me so many times. And just recently, there was someone in our church that had a miscarriage. And she was broken. And a lady came, one of our youth leader and his wife came, and they asked me, "Do you want to come with us? We're going to go visit her." And so I went, and you know, we were ministering to her and trying to lift her up in the Lord and encourage her. And I was telling her, you know, this has a purpose. I don't know what it is, but trust in God, and he will get you through. And he will maybe be even able to use this so you can minister to somebody else. And right when I said that, our youth leader's wife just starts crying. And she said, "I've been through this." And she was able to minister to this young girl. And it just brought me to tears just to see God can use our trials. God can use the things that we've been through. And we need to realize that all sunshine and no rain produces a desert. Mm. The only life that can survive in the desert is those that tap down into the earth's water, deep water. And if you feel like you're in a desert tonight, tap into that water. And if you feel like you're in the midst of a storm, remember that there is sunshine after the rain. Sunshine after the rain produces a rainbow, which is the representation of grace and mercy that God has for us, made up of many colors which represent all the promises and blessings that he has for us. If your faith is weak, ask God to increase it tonight. In 1 Peter 5:7, that says, "Casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you." The word "cares," it actually is translated, "it matters." It matters to him. Take your burdens to God. Take them and leave them. Don't carry these weights around, because he won't have the peace if you carry it. He wants to carry it for you. And if I could just have, if I have enough time, I wanted to share about with the orphanage. It was an experience that I would never forget. Sorry.
blessing to my life, but it was also one of the hardest things I've ever experienced. I left my country, my family, my friends, my comfort zone to go down to Mexico. And I arrived there. I didn't speak the language. I didn't know anyone. And to say the least, I was out of my comfort zone. We figured it would take about a month to open the orphanage, to the year. And we had that time of waiting on the Lord. And a year later when we opened our doors, we understood why we needed that year. And He was just preparing us. And we opened the doors, praise the Lord, after a year, and we started receiving children. And these children were either abused sexually, physically, mentally, or they were grossly neglected. So they had problems. It was hard in our house to live with the kids. And there was kids that were quiet and shy, but there was kids that would hit me, kick me, spit on me. I've been elbowed in the neck, got lice 3 times, been pushed to the end of my mental ability, had things stolen from me, been yelled at, screamed at, lied to, been lied about, made fun of, laughed at, disrespected. But like I said earlier, when I'm weak, God is strong. And through all that, we love the kids so much. And through a chain of events, we had to shut the door. And it was hard and it was excruciating. But God, I'm telling you, blessed be His name. He gave and He took away. And I know that those kids' lives, that there were seeds planted in them. And I know that God has had an amazing work. And we have the church, and God's doing awesome things. People are getting saved. And it's just so awesome to see His hand. I didn't understand at the time. And now I can see just how He turns things around for the good. And I just want to encourage you with that. I wouldn't have changed a thing. God has totally matured me into the place, to the person I am today. He was using my trials to mold and shape me. God is at work even when we don't understand. And Chuck Smith says, pain, suffering, and grief are often chisels that God uses to carve us from the image He desires. They are the tools by which our character is developed, by which God's work in us shines forth, as He brings us to the end of ourselves so that we have to rely on Him. And that's my second. Let me close in prayer. Heavenly Father, we love You so much. And Lord God, we want to trust in You even when we can't understand why we're experiencing some of the things, Lord God. We're just going to, Lord, give You everything. We'll give You everything. And we just ask, Lord God, that You would just move in this place, Lord. Just fill this place with Your Holy Spirit. Continue to minister and continue to touch. And Lord, I pray that You would increase our faith. Increase our faith. We love You. We praise You. We give You our lives. In Jesus' precious name. Amen.